All right, welcome to the Spoiler Kings. My name is Tank Kramer, and I am with Will Peppa MD.
What's up?
So, we are doing our first musical review, which is In the Heights. So, I know we were talking a little bit beforehand. I know you said you're not a musical guy. I'm really not a musical guy either. I don't go out searching for them. I think every musical I kind of watched was probably because of my girlfriend. I don't think I ever watched like so many if it wasn't for her. But so this one we watched. Thanks, Sam, for liking the stream.
Thank you. We appreciate the support. Make sure to share with your friends. Let's talk some New York musicals, man.
Also, before we really get into it, is thanks for everyone subscribing to our YouTube channel, man. We are up to 77 subscribers now. I know that doesn't seem like much, but man, that is a lot, man. You know, we need to hit 100 subs for a custom URL. So every person helps, and we really appreciate all the support over on our YouTube channel. Even the cat says thank you.
Anyone can help. It takes only about 3 seconds to press that share button, you know? Possibly you. You could be that guy, you know?
I think I have a soundbite for that.
Thank you, Odalis. Thank you so much for sharing the
stream. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So this one you didn't watch with your wife then?
I didn't.
You usually watch together, right?
We usually watch movies together. This is one where it just, timing-wise, it didn't work out that way, so I watched it by myself, and I had to watch it like not all in one go. I had to like pause it a few times just to come back. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not a musical kind of guy, but I made it work.
Yeah,
I made it work.
So did she want to see it though?
Not really. Not particularly. I mean, surprisingly, it does. Like, it's funny enough with her. I feel like it really would hit home. My wife is Puerto Rican, and she's also has like a lot of other things. Chilean, she's Mexican. What else? Ecuadorian. I'm Guatemalan, so like we're just all a bunch of Latinos here. And so like if you're Hispanic or if you're Latino, you really hit home with some of the themes and kind of representation in this film for sure.
Yeah. So I think before we really get into it, there was a big controversy with this one going into it. We got some comments. Oli said, "Hey guys, what's up? Yay, congrats. Yeah, appreciate it." I know I had one where it's the stepbrothers guy where it's like investors, possibly you. They can't find that soundbite. So the controversy was not enough Afro Latino people in the movie, that a lot of the Hispanics that were, they were all Hispanic, mostly all, there weren't very many dark-skinned Hispanics. You know, Dominicans, you know, are pretty dark, some usually. Obviously they come in every shade, you know. I mean, the girl who played Vanessa is actually, you know, Mexican, born in Mexico and stuff like that, and she's like very, very, you know, light-complected. But that was the big thing, was like you don't have any dark skin, any Afro Latinos, you know, in there. So that was kind of the big thing. And then Lin-Manuel came on Twitter and he's like, "Oh, we missed out on that one," you know, and kind of apologized a little bit for that. So, so that was kind of out there. Take that for whatever it is. I don't know how you felt about something like that.
Taking a look at the cast right now and kind of looking at all the shades of Hispanic that I see, definitely a lack of darker complected representation. Am I offended by it? No. Are there going to be people that are offended? Probably. But hey, you know, it just comes with show business. You know, you don't see too much representation because the talent's not all out there. There is a lot of talent, but how much do they really get promoted like that, or get, you know, sent up, you know, to the big leagues, if you want to call it that? Not too often. You know, it's a little bit of a system that needs to be maybe reworked with Hollywood, but I don't see that happening anytime soon. So I'm happy that we even got a Hispanic movie, you know, so I'm happy for that.
Yeah. You're like, you know, it's about, you know, all of them. So you want to watch the trailer?
Yeah, let's watch the trailer. Let's do
like
it.
We usually do. So one thing before we really get into the trailer, this trailer came out December 12th, 2019.
Oh,
that's snap. How long ago this movie was supposed to come out. This was supposed to come out very, very early on in 2020, and obviously COVID, and they just had it on the back burner for over a year at this point. You know, it's crazy.
Damn it, COVID.
So a little bit going into the trailer. So the date might be a little different.
Okay.
But very, very, I thought the visual effects were really good. I'm sure the people that lived in that neighborhood were not too happy.
Right.
With everything being shut down.
Hell yeah. I mean, you got a bunch of bodegas. You got a representation of what New York feels like. You get all these close corner streets, and you got, this is what, something interesting that threw me the F off. You see him, right? The main character whose name is Usnavi, right?
Oh, Usnavi.
He, like, it starts off where he's talking to these kids, one of them who is his daughter, and he's telling this story of what it's like to be in the Heights, right? He's talking about the struggles and everything that comes with it. And you see them, they're on a beach, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That plays a part later. We'll talk about that later. But at the end, I was shooketh when I'm like, oh, the beach?
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, we'll talk about that later. You see, and you know, I think there's just one really African American actor in this, and that's the guy who played, what's his name,
Benny, the guy who played Benny,
right? He did a decent job. I wish, you know, he would have been talked about more. There's a lot of, you know, just people of color in general in New York, so it would have been nice to see like some more.
Oh my god, characters, that scene with Claudia Abuela. Claudia. My god, that was so sad, dude. That was like
very sad. I definitely like, dropped a tear when I'm not gonna say it, but towards the end of the movie, you know, you really feel for her. She's someone, she's the abuela, and everybody calls her abuela because she raises the whole neighborhood. She's just always like, you know, a shoulder to lean on, a person to talk to. She always gives the best advice, and she's like this to all these kids that live in the hood because she never could have kids of her own. You know, bless everyone that can have kids, but sometimes people cannot, and it's not their fault. But hey,
That scene was pretty cool where they're dancing on the side of the building.
Oh yeah,
super cool. I was like, it was well done. But yeah, no, Claudia Abuela, Claudia was definitely really, really good. Like,
she really made you like.
Wait, when was this supposed to come out? In theaters, summer 2021. So they must have changed it.
Okay, probably because
this came out. Yeah, this is December 12th, 2019. This trailer. Yeah, so. Right. We might have changed it. Man, she was awesome. The actress that played Claudia was the actress in the musical, I believe. She was the original cast. Oh, sorry, Kitty.
So like we were saying earlier, this all stemmed from a play. From when Lin-Manuel Miranda, he made this play, and it was screenwritten by him, stage concept by him. Bless you.
Yeah.
When was that, by the way? Do you know exactly when his plays
were? Oh, I don't know.
Oh, okay. We can get to that. But so it's based off, I guess, his story. He was the one, like you said earlier, that played Usnavi. Now, Usnavi is the one that kind of the movie follows a few characters in the movie. I want to say the main character who's telling the story. Yeah,
he's definitely the main character.
He's like the main character. And his name. You want to talk about his name? His name is funny as hell.
Yeah, it was something I didn't expect. That was kind of really good.
Usnavi is super, super unique because no one has that name. We come to find out that Usnavi, is a name that I guess the main character's dad picked when he was on a boat traveling to the U.S., right? And as soon as he came and he's like nearby, he saw a ship nearby that said U.S. Navy, right? U.S. Navy. And, you know, bless his soul, but the father was like, oh my God, that name over there. I'm naming my son that, not knowing what it was or what it represented.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny because well, I first heard his name in the movie, I was like, oh, that must be a nickname, you know? It was like, because, you know, it's a nickname or something like that. But then they say it, and I kept trying to, I'm like, is his name Usnavi? Usnavi? So, and then when it was like, oh, U.S. Navy, I was like, are you kidding me? That is freaking hilarious. That's so funny. But it's like, it's also just something so like his dad was so proud to come to America, and he saw that on the military boat. So he's like, oh, that's what I'm going to call it. Just like, yeah.
But better name than what Elon Musk gave his kid. So.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
I'll take Usnavi any day.
Yeah.
That's funny, though. But that was pretty interesting. The guy who's telling the story about how it is to be in the Heights. The Heights is referred to as a place in New York. It's Washington Heights. It's like a town.
It's like way up north or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know my geography too well. Maybe New Yorkers are going to get pissed, but I don't care. But I just know it's somewhere like 10 minutes away from the Bronx. That's what I keep hearing in the movie. It's somewhere not too far from the Bronx. But yeah, that's where it takes place. You want to talk about? Let's see, where's my phone? Let's see, the whole story is just him talking about how the block is disappearing. You want to talk about that? What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like you see that today in today's world. You know, the whole like gentrification kind of the owner of the beauty salon. She even said it too, why she is moving out of there, because she can't afford it. She's getting like priced out, I think she said it. Yep. And it's not nothing new, you know. We see it like in Chicago, you know, Pilsen, you know, is kind of the one that I'm pretty close to, you know, with my girlfriend being there. A few other, even Alfredo lived in Pilsen for a long time. So seeing that, like, you know, just like, oh, that's just what happens. And then, you know, the white guys that charge an arm and a leg for dry cleaning start to move in, and you know, which is what happened in the movie, you know. So it just kind of like it sucks, you know. It's like, because it's their neighborhood, but they're starting to like either like with one of the main characters, she's moving on because of school. She wants to better, you know, herself to help her community as well. And then some other people, you know, were planning on leaving, you know, to go back home and build their Usnavi kept saying the best years of his life was when he was in Dominican with his dad. So, you know, he wants to go back there and kind of redo that and, you know, stuff like that. So it's stuff that I think we see today, especially in a neighborhood like with Chicago, you know, that's super segregated. So when, that segregated area gets gentrified, it kind of like, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, you know? It's happening right now to like Humble Park. Like, Humble Park in, I don't know, the 90s, even as late as the 2000s, right? You couldn't walk around jogging or do anything that's so casual because you'd have to be looking around behind your back because game bangers, you got a bunch of just bad things going on. A lot of good things too. A lot of great culture. A lot of great food. But man, a lot of bad things too. It was just not safe. But then now, Humboldt Park is looking great. If you live in Chicago, it's just getting more expensive, like how you were talking about. But everyone is just drifting away. Everyone's kind of growing up, and it happens. It happens all the time. You know, people go to school. People get better skill sets, and their job makes them move somewhere else. We all can kind of relate. In some way, to some kind of these stories.
Oh, I remember there was a thing that a lot of people were saying back. Oh man, was this like 10 years ago at this point? You know, like it's become, instead of Humboldt Park, becoming Humboldt Heights, kind of. Ooh. You know, so that's what that was the thing. I don't know if they were still saying it, but back then they were kind of saying that a lot.
I did hear about that too.
Yeah,
And like throughout the whole movie, like you kind of get this theme, this overall like I want to call it a theme that time is running out, right? That's what I think. Yeah. The common thing that is kept like reoccurring and it's like said as an idea is time is running out. It'll even show like in the corner of the movie that it'll say like, oh, you know,
I just noticed a dude so many hours. You.
Yeah,
he scared the shit out of me.
That's my bodega guy, dude.
So for the audio listeners, we got green screens up and he has like this bodega kind of behind him and your head was covering him. So when you moved over, I'm like, who's behind you? I'm like, who the fuck is that?
I'm gonna call him I don't know, what should I call him?
Oh man.
Nah, I don't
Who's,
I
won't even call who's him. Army? Who's Army?
Who's Army? There you go. Yeah, who's Navy? It's Navy. It's Army. Okay. But yeah, this is what a typical bodega looks like in New York. You have a little bit of everything. It's like if you live in Chicago, it's a combination of a gas station, a CVS, a regular ass supermarket, and I don't know, and like a pit stop type place. All in one. It's so if you look it, there's no room for like labels and shit like that. These guys, I'm pretty, and I see it in a bunch of videos when I watch videos about New York. Like the guy at the counter, he just knows the prices. Or either that or he's making them up on the spot.
I mean it's probably a little bit both.
Right? Yeah. Like he probably taxes people, you know, but
certain people like, oh, you're not from around here. Okay.
Exactly.
$5.
I don't see labels or any of that on this stuff. Maybe the labels. Yeah. Oh, they have the little gun, right? The little sticker gun.
Yeah, that's what. But yeah. So we'll we go into it. So Usnavi owned this bodega. Mm-hmm. He's like you said, the main character, and he's getting ready to move back to DR to reinvent his dad's bar. So you know, I guess he said he finally got it working, saved up his pennies. And he's getting ready to move on, you know, to DR. So I don't know. So I was like, oh, man. I was like, that's kind of like a crazy move, you know.
Yeah.
But he's not he's the main character, like you said, but he's not like the only kind of main character.
Yeah. The story kind of, you know, circles around a few other characters. One of them was Vanessa. Another one was Vanessa. Nina. And
let me see. It doesn't like so it kind of goes in couples. There was also oh my god, I can't think of her name. The lady who owned the salon.
Daniela.
She was in I didn't know. My girlfriend had told me when we watched, she goes, oh, she was one of the original cast members in Rent. So
okay, cool.
She's a big shot with the Broadway musical stuff like that.
Yeah,
there was a bunch of other Hamilton people in this movie. That was kind of good.
That's cool.
Anthony Ramos, the guy who played Usnavi, he was Lin-Manuel's son when he played Hamilton.
Cool.
I'm not 100% sure if he was in the original In the Heights either. I didn't see that.
One thing though, tell me the guy that played Usnavi does not look like a Hispanic. What's his name? The guy from Chicago. Hold on.
He did look familiar. I was like, man, he looks like somebody.
Who's the meme that they always mess with? Where they're like, I got these stones, Maine. The actor from Chicago, Terrence Howard. He looks like Terrence Howard, bro.
Terrence Howard.
I get Terrence Howard from him. There's a few times where like he does a little smile or something, and I was like, bro, that's Hispanic Terrence Howard. I'm gonna show you a comparison photo after this, but but that's what I totally got from him.
He sounded a lot like, if you ever watched Hamilton or anything like that, he sounded a lot to me, a lot like Lin-Manuel. You know, which makes sense because that was his character and that was, you know, his play and stuff like that. But just the way he sang and the way he talked and all his like little nuances sounded very much like him. And I was like, oh, man, like I was like, yeah, like you sound a lot like him. Also, knowing him for so long, like, he met his wife when he was on Hamilton, you know, so it's like, so Lin-Manuel was like family at that point, you know, it's like
he's
been around with him for so long. So, yeah, you would pick up some of his little habits and stuff like that. But yeah, you want to keep going with the story?
Yeah, so he's someone that he's going after his dream, right? The name of the restaurant and as a constant another theme in this film is dreams or sueños, sueñitos. A sueño means dream in Spanish. That's all it is. So everyone has a dream. You know, when you live in the hood, you always dream about like, oh, I'm gonna get out the hood and I'm gonna do X, Y, and Z. And so that's a constant theme that you're gonna notice if you ever watch this film, which I think you should. You'll notice that they mentioned dreams or the sueñitos or what my parents' dreams were for me or blah blah blah. You know, Everyone has what they want, and then what actually happens, you know, is another curveball that you'll see in the film.
Yeah.
Right. And so him, that's one thing. Let me get my notes out real quick. They show a scene where the lady, like, yeah, we kind of talked about that already, but Daniela, she's in the salon and they get the whole cliche of the, you know, being in a salon, you get all the chisme or the gossip, yeah, right? Everyone's talking about what's going on. And so we learn about, what's her name? The person, Nina. Lisa Grace, Nina, yeah. We learn that she was doing it big, was a straight A student, you know, throughout her whole life. Her dad, who's played by, man, there's so many actors.
Jimmy Smits, man. That's a OG right there.
Oh,
man.
OG, yeah, Jimmy Smits. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man.
He's like invested in his whole business and everything that he's done in life has been put towards her and setting her on her way, right? So she actually got accepted to Stanford, University. I don't know what it is, but she gets up to Stanford, which is a very prestigious school.
That's Ivy League, yeah.
Ivy League. So she was excited. The whole hood was excited. When she left, she was doing her thing, but she's come to realize that she doesn't quite fit in. And a lot of us have gone through that, right? Where we don't fit in, whether it doesn't even have to be where you're Hispanic or not, but she was a person of color. She had an incident where like someone accused her of stealing and security, like threw all her stuff everywhere. I mean, we don't see any of this imagery, but she talks about it, and she talks about how all her stuff was thrown, and just to come find out the girl who accused her of stealing her precious—I don't even know what it was.
Pearls. It was her roommate. Her roommate accused her of stealing her pearls.
She had them in
her. Who brings pearls to a fucking?
Yeah,
I guess I don't know. It's Stanford, so maybe I don't know. I don't know what they do in those big shot schools.
I don't know if those semester issued or something. I don't know. But yeah, like she didn't like it being there away from her family, away from all her support and everything. She was just getting
home. The neighborhood,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. And so when she's on her way or her being back, and it's kind of just like zooming on that part of her life that she came back, she's just feeling uneasy about it. She's thinking that she's already going to drop out, and she's just like having a hard time trying to tell her dad the hood, but she tells the ladies there at the salon, and they're all like, you know, she tells them, and she gets upset because they're all like gassing her up because they thought she was going to continue. Then she shuts them down, she leaves, and then the ladies, you know, being chismosas or being gossip girls, they started like assuming like, oh, maybe she got pregnant or maybe this happened, or you know, they were just all these crazy ideas, doing what I guess salon women do. That's what's like, I guess, assumed.
Like the cliche. Yeah,
that's the cliche. And another character they follow is, what did I have this
Vanessa character? I don't think Vanessa. We were talking about Vanessa yet.
No, Vanessa is a young woman that is into like designing, right? All her life she's been like really like to herself, really isolated, and she doesn't like people too much, but she has a passion for fashion, which is that's funny, that rhymes. Anyways, she has a passion.
Man, you're singing musicals, man. Lemon wants to hire you, man.
Dude, I swear, man, I had to pause this film like 3 times, just take a breather, like, hold on, man, like, just like, oh, I have an idea, by the way. If you ever do watch this film, I have an idea of what you should do while you watch the film. You should drink a drinking game. You want to hear my drinking game real quick?
With what? Yeah, what is it?
So in case you ever watch this film, the drinking game consists of taking a shot or a drink of whatever you're having. Every time someone says the word sueñito or dream, that's one, right? If someone every time someone says Usnavi's name, just because that's hilarious, like of a name. Anytime someone breaks into song. Now this is a musical. Right?
See, that's yeah, that's
you get fucked up instantly with that.
Yeah, that's just take the whole bottle of Tito's right there.
that's for our veteran type players, right? If you break into song, that's when you'll take a drink. Anytime someone mentions the word barrio or mentions the neighborhood or my block, boom, another shot. And then
how about anytime every time they pronounce New York as Nueva York.
Nueva York, yeah, there you go.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know if that's a New York thing, but I'm like, I don't think I ever heard that before.
No,
like is that a thing? I wasn't sure if that's what they call them, like people from New York might say call that. I was like, I don't know if it was just added for the musical kind of thing, you know.
That's interesting. I don't know. It sounds like it feels right that maybe they just say it like that over there. Yeah. That is new to me too, though. I will say that. And then my last one was every time, and this is a good one too, because me not liking musicals, you don't expect someone like me to get into a film like this, right? So I made the last rule: every time you move your body to the music for tapping, take a drink. Because some of the songs in here, you're gonna see that they're kind of catchy. You'll see the young cousin of Usnavi, he has some mad bars. Funny.
Yeah, in the pool scene.
I didn't expect we're gonna go into musical then, but man, he did his thing.
have you seen Hamilton?
I have not. I want to see.
You have not. Oh, you got it. It's on Disney Plus, I believe.
No shit. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, that was the big. That was the big thing that it was coming out on Disney Plus. It's just so hard. It's he's really Lin-Manuel Miranda is really really good at catching people's. Not only their attention, everything's catchy, you know? And right. Dude, have you seen Moana? Okay, yeah, he wrote all the songs for Moana. Yeah, you're gonna love it. You know what I mean? It's a lot of them you're like, oh, he wrote that, he wrote that, he wrote that. You're like, oh dang, he knows how to make a catchy song and stuff like that. So he's pretty awesome and stuff like that. So yeah, I was even me who's not really I obviously grew up, you know, around Puerto Ricans and Mexicans my whole life. So I know all the music, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the stuff I listen to daily. But even I was it's catchy, you know, it's dancing. It was pretty good. Do you want to skip some of the smaller things?
Go
to the year. I'm trying to think, because there was a lot of fill-in stuff, because it is a musical, so your musicals are 3 hours.
It's a lot of small details. For example, some of the bigger details that kind of progress the story, having to do with the best one I think is, let's do Vanessa. Vanessa, she, the designer, right? She's moving away because her shop. She works at that salon that Daniela runs.
Yeah.
She's forced to kind of move away too because she has to find out another new job and whatnot. She's trying to get this apartment that's in the Bronx.
Oh yeah.
And because she's just a hood chick from New York, she doesn't have too many credentials as she's seen to other people. Now, people that know her, they know she's a genius with designs and whatnot, and that's her thing with fashion. And so she attempts to sign out an application for an apartment. Everyone's she's kind of conflicted because she's I don't know. I don't know. She's just having issues turning it in. And then when she finally does turn that thing in, right, and she goes to, an open house or something for that, the realtor just drove her away easy. She already had that play in her playbook, right? As soon as she saw a Hispanic female, young Hispanic female, and she saw her job, which all she wrote was, she didn't even say in a professional way, really. It just said hairdresser or something like that. She could have said it in a bigger way or in a better way, but she put hairdresser and then not too much credentials because she's young, and so she's we're gonna have to run a credit check on you for you to get this place. And then also, if you can't do that, then can you have somebody co-sign? And she that was a slap in the face.
Yeah. Well, I didn't catch it. My girlfriend caught it, where she's like, we need to make sure you make 40 times the rent.
Oh, yeah. And I was like,
what? And then on the paper, you see the rent. It's $3,500 a month.
Yeah.
If you do 40 times that, you need to make $140 a year just to afford this little crappy studio apartment.
Yep.
I was like, that's bonkers.
Damn. That detail did bonkers. Get past. I saw and heard that, but damn, I do remember that. She said 40 times. Yeah. Like, is that even a thing? Can you make that a rule?
I have no idea.
I think she made that one up because that's ridiculous. If you can show the credit history, or if you can, like, give some kind of, like, I don't know, way to prove that you can make the payments besides, you know, a credit report. Like, or like, you know, some people will do, like, with cars, right? They'll show, hey, show me a credit card bill from the past 3 months. Boom. You know, if you're making payments towards a credit card, you can afford to hopefully pay rent, right? But,
yeah.
You know, she could have went a different route with that, but, man, really shunned her away. Like, she started crying. She went to the bodega. And she's kind of like the love interest of the main character, who's Navi. Yeah. So she goes, and I guess, like, low-key in my head, like, it's not really looking that way, but low-key, she went to go cry to him, because she went to his bodega. Yeah. And she even threw away her application in his trash. And so he picked up on that. And he goes to check the whatchamacallit, the... like what the application or what the paper was. And he sees that she, you know, got rejected, and she was also telling him about it too. And she's like, oh, whatever. Like, she was pissed. She was just, you know, done. He ends up doing something really nice for her. I got to find out her name. Oh, it was Daniela.
Yeah. As she's moving, you know, she, he tries to help her, help Vanessa get the place by having her sign.
She has Daniela try to co-sign. He convinces her because she didn't want to at first. She's in the middle of, like, moving her shop and all this. He's busy. And he really, really – it shows that he really went out of his way to try to convince somebody who's doing a big business move. You know, like, you don't want to worry about little stupid shit like that. Like,
yeah, I know. I was like, you get your own stuff you got to worry about.
Yeah, and she said, yeah. So you'll find out later. And we'll talk about that maybe at the very, very end. Another – character that we're kind of following is Corey Hawkins, who plays Benny. He is like a good or a great salesman. He works under
Kevin, which is
Jimmy Smith. Yeah, and Jimmy Smith is the father of the grad student, right? The college student.
Of Nina.
Nina. So he, this is all tied, this is where it all gets tied in, right? So Kevin, right? Jimmy Smith's character, he has this business. And like I said, he's been investing in this business and everything business related or with his family.
Like a cab, it's like a cab kind of.
Cab business, right?
Like a cab business, yeah.
He's been doing that and he even downsized. He had sold like half his business or half his like building of what he was occupying to someone else, right? That wanted it. Again, getting gentrified. And
a white guy.
Yeah, for his daughter to go to school, right? He's barely making it. Barely making these payments for the Stanford tuition, but he's doing it. He's really like putting all his marbles in her. And she feels a lot of pressure. And so she's already kind of like saying like, nope, I don't want to go to school anymore. Like we're just she even lies to him on the phone
She lies to him about the deadline's over, that like you can't sign up for next year. It's too late, you know, because she was just done at that point. Which is sad. That sucks.
And he's like, oh man, and he really wants her to keep going with school because that's his investment, his daughter's investment. So he ends up like calling the school up in a like really isolated scene. He calls him up and he finds out that the deadline's not over, and he's like, okay, cool, well, I'm gonna make these payments and whatever. So he decides to sell the rest of his god dang shop, or his business I should say, he's occupying, you know, his office and whatnot. And he has like a lot of stuff going on with that. And so Corey Hawkins' character Benny is he's a dispatcher, but he's just really good at what he does. I swear he thought he was a salesman, but no, he just has this salesman type attitude. He's very like
friendly. And they all wear that salesman kind of outfit, you know, with the button down, you know, tie and slacks and stuff. So it was very like businessman like Right. But yeah, no, he's a dispatcher.
Dispatcher.
At the taxi place.
Yeah. And he's just really good at his job. He keeps up with everything. Like, I think two or three times in the film, there's a power outages, because that happens a lot in New York. So many, it's so overpopulated over there that everybody's using their ACs at the same time.
And all these electronics. The blackout.
Yeah. Get blacked out. So him, out of the kindness of his heart, he didn't have to do this. This is off day, right? He went into the office and, like, power up a generator and use his phone to take, like, incoming calls and, man, all this crazy stuff, because he really cared about, you know, everyone's caring about trying to make it out the hood. And that was his way of I guess, trying to make it out, is be the best employee he could be. So he was just going OT on everything.
Yeah. But I felt like it was also like he knew the neighborhood needed help. So that was his way of helping the neighborhood as well, you know? So it was like also like, you know, like, I don't know, like he just wanted to help, you know? Because that was like, I feel like the whole, a big part of this whole movie was like everyone was part of this neighborhood, and the neighborhood was like a family, you know?
True. Very, very community. So, everyone has a role, and yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed sometimes they weren't charging each other. Like, even, what's her name? Nina, she didn't get charged, dog. I didn't see that in the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
For her haircut. And
well, yeah, she skipped the line when she first walked into the haircut. Vanessa never paid. They even made a joke about it later. Vanessa never paid for a coffee.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But they all don't give a shit. They're like, oh, we'll put it on your tab. Or, you know, they always make a joke like, oh, well, you got next time type deal. And I do agree. I definitely see that community type family that they have going on. Another character they kind of follow around. Oh, and he doesn't get too much story time. I wish he did, because he has a very, very like tearjerker type story. The guy who plays Sonny, who's like the cousin to the main character, who's Navi. He's someone that like he's all about being and staying in the hood, right? And you don't see that he has too many aspirations other than just staying in the hood. But then we realize that he gets like some kind of inspiration from Nina going to school. So he has aspirations to go to school, to go to college. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's holding him back is that during this current time where the story is taking place, the Dreamers Act was going to get taken away. So that means that anyone who's a dreamer or who's in the United States because of that, I don't know what you call it. What do you call it? That, that clause, if you're in that clause and you'll, you know, that applies to you if you're someone foreign, you're trying to go to school here or work here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it kind of applies to. I think it's trying to go to school here for work.
Yeah, it's the dreamer. It's like school, mostly education for the like the DACA dreamer stuff.
Yes. And that's getting taken away. And and this kid, we come to find out, you know, spoiler king alert, he is undocumented. Poor guy. He's undocumented, and we don't really know why he's undocumented or kind of what's too much going about that. We find out that we get like a cameo from Mark Anthony, which, by the way, Mark Anthony did like a way better job than what I imagined he would do in the film. I didn't even know that he was in the film when I watched it. But man, he plays like a really dark like character that's just like, oh, I don't care about, you know, the future, and I'm gonna drink, and
yeah, he's like a druggy alcoholic kind of character.
Which
real quick, so Mark Anthony is in the movie, like you said, and my girlfriend brought it up. I didn't even think about it. It's super funny. They're like, the biggest troll of the whole movie is you have Mark Anthony, who is a singer, a legit singer, not a Broadway singer, like a singer, a musician. And he said maybe what, three sentences, like maybe a little bit.
Yeah,
not any kind of music from him. No singing at all. It was like, you have Mark Anthony. That's insane. And I don't know whose idea that was, but that's such like, hey, we got Mark Anthony, but he's
not singing.
He's gonna look like trash and not sing anything.
He really was pretty funny. He was like the Oscar the Grouch to Sesame Street. That's who we played. He's the real I didn't think about that, dude. I know he's a singer, he's an artist and musician and all that.
But a big one, yeah.
I didn't think about the fact that he didn't do any singing.
That's hilarious. And when she told me that, I started laughing because I'm like, that is so fucking funny. It was like, that they would do something like that. That they would have like this great musician and like, man, he's gonna not say anything.
That was good. That's a good, that's a good meme.
Yeah.
Man. I totally didn't think of that one. But yeah.
Yeah.
He's the father, right? And for some reason, I guess maybe I missed this, right? But Usnavi is having this idea that he wants to take his cousin with him to go revive his dad's bar. And what's his name? Damn. Sonny is like, I want to stay here and whatnot. But I think he actually knows the reason why. It's because he can't go, right? He can't legally go and then expect to come back, or, you know, like, you can't try to get on a plane if you don't have an ID. Let's just put it that way, right?
Yeah.
And he knows that. And the dad, he just has this I don't give a F mentality. I think, did Usnavi know that he was undocumented at first?
Oh, yeah.
He did know.
I mean, yeah, he knew. The dad, Mark Anthony, had asked him, he goes, oh, how do you pay him? And he's like, I pay him in cash. Yeah. He goes, you ever wonder why? So obviously Mark Anthony, the dad, knows. And I assume he kind of knew, which I like how they didn't really tell you, because you're like, because he just made it sound like when he was offered, like, hey, you're going to come to DR with me. And he told Usnavi, he's like, oh, no, this is my home, dude. Like, that's your home, because that's where your best years were. He goes, but New York is my home, you know, and it was kind of like, I'm like, oh, okay. It's like, I get that. But then there was more to that part of it, which I thought was good.
When he asked that question, when he asked, like, oh, you know why you pay him in cash? I thought that was him revealing why that he was undocumented. Because, like, he was asking the dad, he was asking, like, it was going to be all willy-nilly, like, oh, yeah, like, can I? Yes, no, cool, yeah.
You asked that Usnavi knew he was undocumented.
Yeah, dude, Usnavi didn't know,
right? Yeah. No, I don't, I'm sorry, I character mixed up. No, I don't think he knew. No. Yeah.
It seemed like he didn't know, and then he finds out he's undocumented, and, we do see he does have aspirations. So, like, he mentions to Nina when she gets into town, like, hey, you know, we got a rally coming up in a few days for, you know, a protest to, you know, keep DACA, you know, implemented and whatnot. You know, you're trying to come shake that booty or whatever he said. And I'll make it. And she didn't really give two shits about it, right?
She was going to go.
She was going to go anyways, right, to support. But then, do you want to talk about that? When they finally go to the rally?
To the rally?
Or is there anything else that I missed? Or that we missed?
I think that was kind of the big moment for Nina, too, was, you know, was they were listening to, I know the speaker is somebody important. I can't think of who she is, but there's a speaker in the rally, and she was like saying, like, oh, you know, they're not letting them, you know, she was saying all stuff. And then she basically said, like, oh, they're not, you know, you can't go to college. And then he kind of, like, his whole demeanor changed, and he just, like, left the crowd. And that's when Nina went and like, hey, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. And it was like, and she's Puerto Rican. So she didn't, that's something she has to worry about. You know what I mean? So when she's like, he's like, oh, I couldn't get a license, but I didn't know I couldn't go to college. And she was like, oh, but that's only for the undocumented. And he's like, he looked at her. He's like, yeah. And she's like, oh. And then I like that scene a lot, because it was like her choosing not to continue with school because of all the trouble, you know, it's causing her dad and it for her, like, with, you know, racial kind of stuff. So she's choosing not to go to school, where him, he's forced. Like, he can't. Like, that's it. Like,
doesn't even have the option.
You know, no option. You know, and then that's when, like, the whole, she kind of figures out, like, what she wants to do. You know, it's like,
it sounds like she gets motivation again. Like she didn't have a drive to keep going, but then when she realized, oh, damn, I gotta fight for the little guy that can't even make a voice for himself, or can't, you know, get his foot in the door for schools and make a better life for himself. That's what it was all about, making a better life for yourself. She, you know, in a very bratty way, like, I'm having a tough time in school because I'm an outcast. You know, she's having that kind of moment, and then you see a kid that's like, you know, dying to go to school. His whole soul broke down, you know, right in front of her. As soon as he realized he couldn't even go to school because he's undocumented.
Yeah. Poor dude.
And so when she saw that, she saw how like ridiculous she was kind of acting. So she's like, you know what? Nah, I am going to go to school now. So she changes her mind, which is spoiler alert. You know, that's what we are. She decides that she is going to go to school so that she can fight for the little guy that can't. And she even tells that to her dad. And he's so happy because he sold like the rest of his business so he can pay for, you know, tuition year two or something. And that was how that kind of all played out. Now, with the main character, right, Usnavi and Vanessa. They have their kind of conflicts going on. So throughout the movie, we see that they have this, like, cat and mouse type play that you know, one will kind of want the other, and then and one will want the other more. And they just, like, they're never in sync. They're never in sync, you know. Like, she invites him, or he wants to get on a date with her, and so his little cousin plays wingman and earns him a date, right? He, you know, it was a little funny scene in the bodega in here.
That was good, yeah.
And, you know, he's, I don't know why, but Usnavi's real shy for some reason, but he really, really likes Vanessa, and he's always liked her. And so she invites him to, like, a ball or some kind of party, right?
Yeah.
The club. It was a club.
Yeah, it's like a club, yeah.
And yeah, so she's like, hey, I'm going to be at this club. Yeah, I'm going to be at this club on this day, you know, if you're trying to come down. And he's like, yeah. So he goes, and man, a few times, man, and I still think that if they have a part two for this film, like, I feel like another conflict that he's going to be having is alcoholism. And here's what I think why. So this is a very interesting scene, by the way. I'm trying to cut this time, but he goes to the club and he's like real nervous and like he's trying to get a dance with her, but she like gets asked to dance by somebody else, some other dude. And
everybody, like, yeah.
Everybody wants to dance with her and everybody gets a chance to dance with her. And he's over here trying to get a drink, right? And once he gets the drink, he's trying to loosen up and he's like, hey, do you want a drink? And she's like, no, I'm not about drinking. I just want to dance. You know, I'm trying to dance with you and have this interaction, you know, and really like get intimate. But he doesn't get the hint. He's over here trying to loosen up with alcohol. Meantime, she's over here dancing with other guys. So he kind of gets jealous vibes from that. And so he starts to like talk to another girl, comes to find out she don't even speak English. And like, he's just like, whatever, that'll do. And like, he's just, you know, trying to make her jealous too. And it's just, and they keep, like I said, they keep playing like cat and mouse and just kind of going back and forth, on who's, you know, more obsessed with who at that time. And so that's the first time we see that. And he's drinking is a problem. That time, right? Then later on, right? The night that Abuela died. Spoiler alert.
As we get into it real quick. That was super sad. That was super sad. Her musical scene she did with the train, and then she, you know, oh man, it was just so. I think that was the best. That was the best song in the entire movie. For me, that was just so good. It was so passionate. It was just so meaningful, and it was just like so much. Like the symbolism for it was crazy. You know, like walking down a tunnel with the light at the end. You know, and it's just like,
and how New York of it to be a subway tunnel, right?
Yeah.
And that was like her crossover kind of scene, if you want to put it into perspective. That was her crossover scene, because like during a blackout, she's like hyperventilating, she's drinking, and then also her body temperature's going up. She has
heart issues. Heart issues. I know, like. She was supposed to be taking medicine in the beginning of the movie where Usnavi kept telling her, like, oh, don't forget your medicine. But
he was that guy to remind her, and he's getting messed up at that party, you know, and with the blackout and everything. And, you know, Hispanics, even in the brink of a blackout, Hispanics, they showed a few times, we'll just party it up. Like, oh, damn, we're going to be sad in this blackout? Hell no, turn up. Light them candles. Let's get you know, the alcohol. And that's a lot of what you'll see in the film. Hopefully, Hispanics don't take too offense to it because, I mean, that's what Hispanics do. I mean, I don't know what else to say. But, yeah, you know, we make good times out of bad times. That's what the overall...
Yeah.
Another thing that's just kind of communicated. And that was a time where, you know, everyone's kind of doing their own thing, drinking and whatnot, you know, chopping it up and just talking. And Abuela's over here just on the bed and just like, she knows she's going. She knows she's going.
That's right? So sad.
And how do you say it? And it was really sad because she was just like, but I said, the neighborhood of what she took over everybody.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Yeah. But no, it was also like I think like she it was happy too for her. You know, it was like she had to she got to be there, maybe not directly surrounded by all the people like around her, you know, like that, but she was there with everyone she loved in the neighborhood and everyone that loved her. You know, they were there having a party, they were playing bingo and drinking and enjoying like this time, you know, and she just went to bed and then just, you know, died in her sleep. And it was like, man, it sucked. But, you know, I think she was happy. She was okay with it. You know, that was like,
right.
It was sad. It was super sad.
Very sad. I definitely shed a tear. Cause I was like, man, like I've never had, the privilege of experiencing my grandparents just because of just how it worked out for me. But I did get real close to my wife's grandma and she passed away. So I kind of hit home when she passed. I was like, man, the kind of the glue that held everyone together and whatnot, you lose her. And it's such a sad moment to kind of go through that. And you know, real quick, even my wife's abuela, she passed away. Like, I think her anniversary was actually 3 days ago, 2 days ago. So, you know, rest in peace to her, rest her soul. But yeah, everyone, you know, can relate to, not everyone, but a lot of people can relate to losing a special loved one as close as, you know, like a grandma, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very touching scene with the whole crossover and all that. But yeah, I totally agree with the music too, man. Yeah, I'm not a musical guy, but this film kind of like it got me going, man, with some of the stuff.
Man, Lin-Manuel knows how to do it, man. Like I said, he knows how to do it. That's why if you haven't watched Hamilton, watch Hamilton. It's I saw it live in Chicago, which was pretty cool. But there's a lot of I'm gonna keep drawing a blank. Hamilton actors in this. So the guy who played the ice cream truck guy.
Which one, the soft serve or the pidawa?
No, Mr. Softy. The ice cream truck.
The soft serve. Yeah. Mr. Softy.
So he plays the King of England, George whatever, in the original Hamilton. So if you watch Hamilton, you'll see him. He's King George. And then then the other guy with the flavored ice. That's Lin-Manuel. Yeah, that's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
The Pirahuero is how you say it.
Yes.
I say the Pirahua guy. Pirahua is a name that some Hispanics, not all Hispanics, by the way. You can't say this to a Mexican.
With an R.
Pirahua. Pirahua. And you say it like Pirahua. Pirahua.
He's George Washington. I'm sorry. Oh my God, he's George Washington.
In Hamilton.
Hamilton. So the Mr. Softy played George Washington.
Thank you for that, Eric.
So obviously, he was like good stuff. I appreciate that.
But yeah, I didn't make that connection. Yeah. I didn't realize that's freaking Lin-Manuel.
Yeah, that was Lin-Manuel. The beard, it just looks so weird. It was fake. It had. There's no way that was real. It looks really.
Got me.
It didn't look good on him. I don't know. I was like, maybe because he always has like a baby face kind of. I don't know if like that, just a beard like that. Because if it was a natural beard, like good for him, because that was a pretty epic beard. That's why I'm saying it's probably fake, because it was too good of a beard. Okay. And it was so dark. Yeah. I was like, beards don't. Beards are always lighter than your natural hair color. You know, so it was like,
that was too ideal.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was hilarious. That rivalry going on, the Pirahua guy against the soft serve guy. Oh man, that was pretty good. They don't have any lines really. They're just singing, you know, in the moment. And he's, you know, Pirahua guys talking about Pirahuas, which are like icy drinks, or what do you call them?
It's like a shaved ice with flavored water, flavored juice. Yeah.
It's usually and by the way, so they really got the abuela said this line that I think really is a big, big theme in the film too. She says this quote that man, super, super great quote. It says, if you go to I even wrote down the time. If you go to 19 minutes 56 seconds, you'll see that she says, the little details that tell the world we are not invisible. That's what Hispanics are about. They're about, all about the little things and the most intricate small details. She was like knitting some of these like towels or these like
handkerchiefs, kind of.
And they're very, very special, and the designs are like super like traditional and whatnot, which was really real dope.
I think it was Nina's mom who had who died. I didn't tell you how. That was her mom's, so it was like even more. It was like, oh, her mom who had died, you know, now, you know, Abuela Claudia has them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, being taken care of. Like, there's love in it, you know.
So but when she passes those on to... Damn, who does she pass those on to? She passes somebody.
He has one. Usnavi has one in his shop.
Oh, no, the shop.
He has one in the shop on the shelf. There's one like hanging, you know.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But just one. So I don't know. Maybe everyone in the neighborhood got one.
Maybe, right? You
know? I mean, but technically there'll be more of Nina's than anybody's because those are her mom's.
But it's so true. Like when you watch this film, you will see that even the smallest details, down to the pirawas. Yeah. So if you've ever been to Chicago, and we have those same piragueros, as they're called, or the icy guys. But they have their concentrated juices. You'll have like the cherry, the strawberry, the lime. There's a whole bunch, right? The blue one, you know. When I was little, I'd be like, oh, give me the blue flavor, give me the red flavor. Yeah. And that was it. Odalis, my wife, she's one to be very, very intricate with what she wants. She wants the cherry one. And if you don't got the cherry one, it ain't it. And you'll notice that if you go into Chicago, you won't see cherry too much. It's like one guy, maybe in Humboldt Park, but that's about it. So in here, they got not only the flavors on point, they had like, I saw all the flavors that they had. And he was like, and the pirahuero guy was shouting them too. But he had them in glass containers. You don't see that in Chicago. Do you ever see that?
No.
I never see that. And that was a really good detail to include.
Those got to be crazy expensive. You know, it's possibly something like handed down or something like that. I don't know, but yeah, like glass ones are not cheap.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, just, I don't know, that's super cool. Another thing real quick was talking about like little details was when Kevin, which is Jimmy Smith, he's on the phone and it's he's on hold. You hear the music playing in the background. The music playing in the background was the music from a song from Hamilton.
No,
and it's
like,
and it's probably one of my more favorite ones. It's where the king of England has a song, and it's a really goofy kind of song. It's really funny, and it's that music from that song. And I'm like, is that? And my girlfriend's like, yeah, that's it. So genius. I was like, awesome, dude. You gotta watch.
Marvel. You need to recruit this guy, bro. Like, he's on some Easter egg type stuff.
Dude, Lin-Manuel Miranda's been in. He was in How I Met Your Mother. He was in an episode there. He was in a bunch of things. I can't think of other stuff. But yeah, I mean, he works for Disney. I think he's writing the songs for the new live action Little Mermaid, I believe.
But I feel like for screenwriting or directing, they should get him in, man. Like, he's a genius with the music.
Anything. Yeah, the music is
on point. Okay. This is his first one he directed?
He didn't direct it. Director was what was his name? Having a complete brain fart. He was the guy,
John Chu. John Chu. Okay.
He directed Crazy Rich Asians.
He was a screenwriter. Never mind. My bad.
Let me know the producer. The writer of it is the writer of a book.
Kiara.
She wrote the book that became a musical that became a movie. So, damn. You know, a couple layers there. Just to finish up real quick.
The lottery ticket.
I mean,
that's the way.
The lotto ticket. She had everyone had one. Always gets lotto, and his store had sold the winning one, but no one knew who had won it. I thought it was going to be Kevin, and Kevin was going to get the money for his daughter, but it wound up being Abuela Claudia has it, and she was going to give it to Usnavi, you know, for like his dreams and stuff. But he turned around and he used it for Sonny, you know. And I thought, I'm like, oh wow, it's that, because that's night, was it 96,000? That was like, they even had a song about 96,000.
Oh yeah.
And he used it for says like help him get his citizenship and then put the rest in the trust fund for him, you know. I was like, that's super, like, really awesome, you know. It's like, but that's how much they believed in each other, you know, like Kevin with Nina, you know, Usnavi with Sunny, is like how much they believe in the next generation, you know. It's like, you have to be better, you got to do better, and willing to put whatever money they have for that. And I'm like, that's super, super cool, you know. It was, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like something really awesome.
It is really awesome, man. Like, I don't know too many people that I would like go out of my way to, like, you know, give them my life savings or give them, you know, that's crazy, dog. Talking, you know, when you're talking lottery and you're talking money that's bigger than $50,000, that's a decent amount of money that can change your life instantly. Yeah. I'm not saying you're set for life, but it can change your life for sure.
Get you on the right track.
You want to play that game real quick? What would you do with $96,000? Go.
Oh my god. I would probably pay off all my debt, and that would still give me a decent amount left.
Okay.
And then I don't know. I mean, at this point, it's like maybe put it into like fixing up the house a little bit. You know. Okay. I mean, I think that's what I would kind of do, because I mean, I have some projects I want to get done, and $96,000 would definitely, you know, help me refinish my basement and get a new garage. Hell, you know, it's like, but like, that's the stuff that would make me happy. You know, it's like, get to hang out, you know, down in the basement with me and my girlfriend, the dog and the cat, be out in the backyard and hang out back there and stuff like that. So I don't know. I mean, it's for me, it's simple, you know?
Okay. That's cool.
So I don't know. What about you?
If I were to win $96,000 right now, I would cut a check to my parents. I would cut a check to my siblings. It's not big checks, by the way. It's $96,000. But I give them, you know, everyone in my close family. When I say family, I'm talking about friends as well. And I would definitely reinvest my money and create my own business. And I definitely put in, and I know it sounds real corny, cliche, but I'd put a bunch of money into this network. Nerd Huddle Network. I would definitely do that, man, because we have something pretty cool going on, a cool group of guys that are like-minded, talk about the same, you know, testosterone based topics. We got, you know, sports
and
popular stuff, man. Love it.
Yeah, speaking of, that was one thing I was thinking about. Like, I want to get some more like women in it, you know, because I think that always helps out in getting different views and aspect on of different things. But yeah, that's kind of funny. But I mean, that was probably one thing I would definitely do too, is like buy all this like recording equipment, you know, cut off a little corner of the garage to be a little recording studio, you know, like have everyone come over, you know, and we'll just do that. But yeah, I don't know. you made mine sound much, much more selfish. You're like, I'm going to give everyone some money.
I mean, I don't know, man. I never really had much stuff growing up, like, not to get too emotional, but like, I kind of like relate to some of the guys in the barrio in this film. I never really had much growing up, so I don't have like the craziest hobbies. I don't like have these crazy gaming hobbies that I wish I had. Like, I wish I was a real, real gamer and whatnot, but I never really had the latest stuff. Like, now I do, because I have big boy money. Yeah, I have like the new system, and I have a PC, you know, a gaming PC, but like, I don't really care for too many things nowadays. Like, even down to like a house. Like, I'd rather get like a condo or something like small. Like, I'm not trying to do big, but I do want to help people around me. That's for sure. So you in the comments, if you were to get $96,000, what would you spend it on? Let us know in the comments, share the video, and let us know what you think.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, that's about it. So obviously Usnavi, he stays, he has a kid with Vanessa, and that's who he's telling the story to, and kind of an ending that I knew what was going to kind of happen. You know, he's not going to leave. The whole movie is about him loving the neighborhood, you know. Right. So,
you know, what threw me off? What's going to come full circle? What we started off with? He was telling this story with a background of him being at the beach, which made it assume as if he did take the trip to the DR, and his kids were like right there in the sand or whatever. And like, you see the background, everything is beach, right? And then when he makes the decision at the end of the movie that he's going to stay and recreate that bar slash, you know, fashion designer store that he kind of collaborated with with his now wife or whatever, Lena. Yeah. Or,
was it Vanessa.
Vanessa. Wow, I was way off. Vanessa. like he recreates a mixture of a bodega, clothing store, which is like super like nice, trendy stuff, and
like a thing? Beach bar kind of thing.
Beach, yeah, he brought the VR. Was kinda cool. That was cool. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Very out there, very new and modern and hipstery kind of. But it looked like it worked, and that's how it ended. The background when he's like telling the story and he has like his dad's hat and all that. Even the background starts to like CGI itself
into the store,
and I was like, oh, so he didn't go to the
yard. Yeah. I thought it was like, oh, this is him. He's retired or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought so too. I totally got that vibe. Maybe. I thought he was retired, and his kids were running the store, and I thought that was like his granddaughter, but it turns out she was calling Eddie.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I like that how he just turned the store into his dream, like his dad had his dream, but he incorporated his dad's dream into his own, and it was good, man. It was really, really, really good. I got some pictures real quick. But yeah, so I mean that's the store. It's Lynn and Noel, and then that's the guy who played George Washington in Hamilton.
Soft Milk guy, Mr. Softy, yeah. Or whatever.
Yeah.
They have a rivalry in the film. A few times you'll see that they kind of like mess with each other.
There's a post-credit scene.
I didn't realize that, dude. When I finished the movie, I left the movie going.
Oh, okay.
And I'm over here on the computer and whatever. And then I see the TV and I'm like, huh? And I see that we're going to spoil it for you because you know we're the spoiler kings. But when I say it, what happens, man? The blackout. It affected.
Did it affect his truck?
Well, the heat of the blackout.
The heat, yeah.
Affected Mr. Softy's truck, which requires electricity and I guess gas too, and whatnot. And his truck broke down. And so in the end, in this whole rivalry that you see throughout the film, which is very, very small, like little 10-second segments.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Is the Pirawa man won this whole like debacle between them because his little car, his little carito carries stuff that you don't need electricity to keep cold. Yeah. He has his own little system.
A big ice block and his little shaver.
Boom. Yeah. He was made. And he benefited from all the sales because that's what happened. I guess the Pirawa man, that was his part of the hood, and Mr. Softy that was serving soft cones, soft serve ice cream cones. Yeah. He was trying to, move it on his spot. And, Pirawa Man's like, bro, this is my spot. And at the end, we come to see that Pirawa Man won.
Yeah. That was a nice little post-credit scene.
Real silly. Real silly. Nothing like, nothing that's going to, make you be like, oh, my God, there's going to be a part two. Like, no, nothing like that.
I think it's like a cool little scene that they wanted to throw in, but didn't know where to put it in the movie.
Right, and to include the director, which is a cool thing. Not the director, the writer, the fucking, what I'm talking about.
Oh, Lin-Manuel. So these are the Gossip Girls from the salon.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Schmidt going around. That's the scene from her song, from Claudia's song. Oh man, that was good.
It was
right here. They're talking about what gonna make the 96,000. What they're gonna do with it?
Yeah, everybody closed down the shops early. Yeah, because it was so hot, and they're going to the pool or whatever.
Yeah, there's all at the pool. There's the pool out.
Scene where more at the pool. The cousin had mad bars.
More at the pool, but yeah, it's just like it was really cool. It's like they're just like all one big family. It's all the neighborhood. The scene shots were amazing. Like this was like such a cool. And then they wind up dancing on the building, and I was like, oh, that was really, really well done. Very La La Land like
Spider-Man. What the hell was that? That was a little that threw me off. Oh. For a second, I'm like, is that Miles Morales? Is he make an appearance? I'm like, bro, this is a confirmation. Marvel is
it crossing over with
multiverse. Like, is it gonna tie in this somehow?
That's funny. I didn't think about that. That's funny.
Yeah, they were like walking on the building as if they were Spider-Man, dude. They were Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool scene.
Such a New York thing.
Well, yeah. Yeah, some other ones. Yeah, nice little scene at the end.
I agree with you that the imagery and the details down to the very small details,
yeah,
very, very pleasing. Very pleasing.
Yeah.
Very authentic. The clothing was good. Music was good. You want to get down to ratings? What do you think?
Yeah, man. Let's finish this thing up.
We got three ways we rate, right?
Yeah, go for it. What you want to tell them what it is?
You got it. You got it, man.
All right. So we got Now, Later, Never. So now, go watch it right now. Stop what you're doing. Go watch it. Later is whenever you feel like watching it. You know, no big deal. And then Never is avoid this movie. Avoid it. So those are our three ratings. And you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So I was going into this film not expecting much. Like I was when I think musical, I'm like, oh, another one. And so I was I was going into this film thinking, oh, it's gonna be a never. Like you never want to see this film. It's not. Don't even put it on your TV screen or your computer screen or your phone. Don't even do it. But then after watching the film, I've turned it from a never to a later. I don't think it's a film you should watch right now. It is a really, really good film, and like, I really have no complaints. I really don't, even down to the musical part. I can't even complain about that. I don't have a single complaint. The only reason why I would say it's a later film instead of watch it right now, or else you missed out, is because you may not relate to the film. You may not relate to being the outcast, or maybe you're not relatable to being Hispanic or having such a big culture, upbringing, you know, like some people don't have a lot of, you know, traditions and whatnot. Like me growing up, I'm Hispanic and I don't have the biggest traditions and whatnot. I didn't celebrate them as much as other kids. And you know, like my wife, she celebrated everything. I didn't. I grew up, you know, it's not like that. So like sometimes maybe you'll see this film and you'll be like, can't relate. But, that's why I say it's a later. As far as like the characters that they used, man, I almost want to give it a now, but no, I'm putting it for later just because of the relatability of how many people you're going to reach in your audience.
Yeah.
What about you?
So for me, it's like, I wasn't sure what I was going to get into. I know Lin-Manuel, does great things. Mm-hmm. I know the cast was going to be good. My biggest thing was same thing. It was like, it's a musical. So your audience goes from, you know, very, very small, like people that like are willingly to go see a musical. Right. But if you can get past that, like, oh, it's a musical, you know, it's like, you know, but that's like saying like, oh, well, it's just a comedy or it's just a horror film. It was like, yeah, just it's still a good film, whether category it is. Mm-hmm. This category is a musical. And I'm saying go watch it now. I thought it was really good. It got emotional in certain parts. It got good. Yeah. It got parts where you're just kind of like moving around and stuff like that. So for me, it's like, watch it now, man. It's on HBO Max. Mm. It's like, it's worth watching it now. I thought. Other musicals, I'm like, I'll watch it later. You know, like it's a good one. This one, I thought it was just good. It was well-paced. 2.5 hours, a little bit longer, but it also takes a long time. You know, I'm sure they trimmed a lot out of the play for the movie, you know, because plays are like 3 hours, 3.5 hours. Because they have a big intermission, too. Rotten Tomatoes, it's got 97%. So it is certified fresh. And the audience is at 95. And I've been hearing nothing but good things about this movie. Everyone that saw it, like, loves it, you know. Biggest issue is it's not doing good in the theaters. It's not bringing in the money, you know, and that might be because it's on HBO Max, but for me, it's a now. Obviously, Rotten Tomatoes audience and critics love it. So,
yep.
That's always good.
Even seeing that, I don't know, something about like
it is a musical.
That
deters a lot of people.
It does. It deterred me, but I still watched it going well, like unbiased. I'm like, you know what? No, I'm going to go full in. Let me just take it as it is. And I ended up liking it. I like it so much, but I just don't like it to the point where I'm like, watch it right now or else you missed out on something, right? A new Marvel film comes out, that's a watch now. It's almost you know, hopefully they don't, knock on wood, they don't, like, you know, mess up on their next film. But, like, usually when you watch, like, a Marvel film, it's a watch now. You got to watch it, or else you just missed out.
Yeah, you missed out on the hype.
Yeah. It's just so well put together. Like, when I think of watch now, I think of, like, Dark Knight type film, or, like, something that was just so good that, like you're just in utter shock or awe. Yeah, this one left me, you know, I even, like, you know, shed a tear for this film, but, like, I'm going to watch this film and probably not watch it again. I might watch it one more time, maybe for that drinking game. Who knows?
I might watch it again. I don't know. See if my girlfriend's in the mood and, like, hey, you want to watch it again? I'm like, yeah, cool, I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I thought it was, like, especially if you're in the musicals, it's a 100% watch now. If you're not in the musicals, you know, I still say watch it now, but it's more of a, I know you're gonna watch it later kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this is a good, like, Friday night, you know, stay at home date kind of movie. Yeah, I think that's a good thing for it.
Right.
But yeah, so you got it later and I got it marked as now. Yep. Let us know in the comments what you guys think about it. But I think that is it for this week, man.
Sweet.
Man, I always forget what we're doing next week. I think next week we're doing Luca.
For next week, do you know what film we're doing? No, we're doing Luca probably. I don't know.
I think we're doing Luca. Because there's not that much coming out the next couple weeks. It's either... Is
a Black Widow coming out? Black Widow's coming out?
No, that's July.
That's July.
Yeah. It's either Luca or the Hitman's Wife Bodyguard, which I'm not... You know, that's with Ryan Reynolds, Samuel Jackson, Selma Hayek.
Huh?
Fast and
the Furious comes out next week. It'll come after the week after.
Yeah.
That's going to be for next week. Yeah, we're doing that one. But for this next week, I don't really lean towards either one. Do you? Did you lean towards one?
You said Luca. I'm more excited about Luca.
Yeah, that's another one we're talking about, Hitman's Bodyguard. Yeah. Maybe we do that one. That's a real popular.
Yeah. I watched the first one. It's a sequel. I didn't care for the first one.
What was the first one? That's the only reason.
The Hitman's Bodyguard. And now it's a Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard or whatever. It's so stupid.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's a sequel. You know, it's a Hitman's Bodyguard with Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds. And now I think they're throwing in Selma Hayek.
I guess I got to watch the other one too then if we go that route.
I might have to. It's been a while since I've seen it. But I'm going to definitely watch Luca too. That's a Pixar movie. So Pixar is, you know, and it'll probably be another musical because it is Pixar. So
what do you think, sweetie? Let's get your input. What do you think? Should we do the Pixar one? It's a Pixar film, Luca. Or should we do the Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard? You want to go to the movies that bad? Okay. If we watch that, we have to watch the other movie. It's a sequel. You okay with that? Okay.
You probably don't need to. I'm sure a movie like that is not going to rely too much on, like, you need to know what happened in the first one. They'll probably let you know in the first, like, 5 minutes. I'm down for either one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're watching this and it's before the 21st of June, let us know what movie you want to watch or you want us to review.
Let us know
down in the comments. Mm-hmm. Cool, man. But that is it for this week, dude. A little bit longer one. That's all right. So this is our schedule for the Nerd Huddle Podcast Network. Tomorrow we got Fredo and Brian and Marvin doing the Panda and Grizzly Show. They're going to break down some more weeks of the Bears 2021 season and talk some, like, updates for the Bears. And then Wednesdays, we got Dynasty Pylon with Mark and Martin. And they do, like, IDP, and they're breaking down divisions right now. And you're going to have some special guests for the next couple of weeks while Martin is out doing his Army duty. And then Thursdays, did we just become best friends with Alfredo and myself? We talk about pop culture. So I think we made a decision for the next couple of weeks, though. We're going to do Loki reviews, which works out perfectly because Loki's coming out on Wednesdays. That podcast is on Thursdays. So we're going to do Loki reviews, you know, of all the episodes. There's going to be 6 episodes in total. And the I know you were gonna jump on it, and I know some stuff happened. You're always welcome to jump on, man, with us. But I think that the three of us, with Brian, Alfredo, and myself, like, we love this show, and it was so cool, like, how we were able to, like, see different things. So if you want to watch that with us,
The Time Police, bro. They didn't know it was a thing until then.
This is gonna change the MCU. So this is for us, you know, me being a nerd. I know Brian's a nerd. I know Fredo likes the MCU, and I know you like the MCU too. So this is gonna be a game changer when it comes to that. So we're breaking that down for the next few weeks, so you can catch that. And then Sunday's Morning Spike, we talk about fantasy football, NFL news, and stuff like that. And then as we get closer to football season, we're going to take all your fantasy football questions live before the games. And then always every Monday, you can catch me and Will, Peppa MD. Follow Peppa MD on all those channels. Links are in the description. Twitch, YouTube, TikTok. He's got funny, funny TikToks, man. But yeah, man. And then we're going to be here every Monday doing a bunch of movies. I think we got movies until freaking August, dude. So we got our plan for the next month or so. But cool, man. Appreciate all you guys. Thank you for all the subscriptions and all the likes and follows and all that good stuff like that. Appreciate all of it. We really, really do. But cool. Tell your friend the bodega guy. I'm like, was your son wearing a green screen or something? It was like, he's wearing a green screen.
That was kissing the bodega guy, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for your help, bro.
Yeah. Keeping the community going, man. All right. But that is it for us for this week, and we will catch you all next week with another movie review. Later.
Later.